This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 449 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams.
Hey, Bruce.
Yo.
Do you know we're only one episode off 450?
No.
Hey.
Can't be.
I'm not as dim as I seem.
That there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
Nonplussed.
Oh, over?
No.
Right, okay.
You asked me how I am. I reflected for a long period of time, and that's what I came up with.
Right, excellent. Excellent. So not nonplussed over anything out of the ordinary?
No, normal day.
Just the normal. Just a normal state of non-plussedness.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Well, I'm pushing the boundaries a little bit here. I've got to say, because it's 10:15 in the morning. We're recording in the morning here,
yeah.
And I haven't napped yet.
Right.
That in itself is possibly the cause of my non-plussedness.
Right.
Yeah, sheer lack of sleep. Had a hard. I must admit, I did a hard night last night. My eldest has been home last couple of days sick with a cold.
Uh-huh.
My youngest woke up in the middle of the night vomiting.
Oh, geez.
So I was up till 4 just keeping an ear out for that. And so that was a joyful night. Oh, night, as you can imagine.
It's funny, you know. I had to go to the shops the other afternoon.
That wasn't funny at all, actually.
No, but I had to go to the shops.
Bruce, you're insensitive.
I am. I had to go to the shops the other afternoon. And on the way to the shopping centre close to where we live, we go past Max's former school.
Right.
And I just happened to
All I can say is I hope the story gets more interesting. Yeah. So far. It hasn't started out all killer.
No. But I happened to go to the shops at about 2:45 in the afternoon.
Well, that's not a good
idea.
And
I thought, man, you get so out of tune with these things when you no longer have school-aged children. It was just a nightmare. It was like trying to drive down Pitt Street at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like, what am I doing here? Anyway.
It's pandemonium.
Yeah. So it's
fortunately the kids, my kid and your kids' new school, there's only 80 students or 85 students.
Wow.
So
in a city the size of Melbourne, there is a school that small.
Well, it's a big school. It just doesn't have many students. It opened up very late, just before the beginning of the school year.
Oh.
And they were told first they could only do prep to year 3, I think it was, or year 4.
Yeah.
And then the last minute they said they could go up to 6. So all of a sudden they tried to get, So as a result, when my daughter signed up, she was going to be the only grade 6er.
Wow.
In the end, they ended up having a massive amount of, I think, 4, maybe 5. So my youngest in grade 3 and my eldest in grade 6 are in the same class.
What? In the same class?
It's a composite 3-6.
Wow.
Because it's like being in a country school, there's so few students.
Yeah.
And the majority of those students, I think more than half of the entire cohort are in prep.
Wow.
So the year before grade 1, for those who don't know what a prep is.
Yeah, like kindergarten. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, wow. Except we have kindergarten. So, it's a very small school. I mean, I can go to school 3 minutes before pickup time, park within 30 metres of the school entrance.
Wow.
And be home 2 minutes after school.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Well, considering the old school the kids are at, I'd have to be there like an hour or more beforehand to get a parking spot anywhere nearby.
Wow.
So every day. And then it was a 10-minute drive, let's say, depending on traffic.
Yep.
So, that's another 20 minutes there and back.
Yep.
So you're looking at an hour and a half of your afternoon gone.
Wow.
And then the morning, it was probably close to an hour of your morning, 45 minutes of your morning gone. So two and a half hours of your day to do school drop-off and pick-up.
Jeez.
And now it's 10 minutes for both.
Nice.
So I'm up for another couple of hours naps every single day.
So that will conceivably get worse next year when they'll have more students.
You would imagine so, but it's still, it still should be able to do the push out as you slow down and get rid of them.
Yeah.
And they're only one kid at the school next year anyway. So.
Right.
And it's a 5 or 10 minute bike ride if they want to ride their bike or whatever as well. So.
Yep.
It's fairly easy. So it's a whole new, but we don't have that chaos because the whole school is not near shops, it's not near anything else that would draw people either.
Yep.
So it's, and it's in a, I mean, they're still building houses around it. It's a brand new area of the state.
Right.
So it's very simple.
You know? Yeah.
But when you have to drive past the other big schools in the area near the shops, it's, oh my God. You know,
yeah.
You can't move.
So tell us about Tanzania.
No, let's not talk about that first, because we've got absolutely nothing to talk about this week, Bruce. We've got nothing. We got zero, we got zip, we got bubkus.
Hence why we could be talking about Tanzania.
I was going to ask you how your week's been.
a week of job hunting, actually.
Really? Any joys?
Nothing.
Zip.
Absolutely nada. I have rung everybody that I can think of in the industry that I know. And
well, that's where you're going wrong. How about you ring people in the industry you don't know?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
ring people you don't know in the industry you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
hi, I don't know you. My name is.
Yeah. So, getting a bit scary, to be honest.
I was reading this thing on Facebook last night. This guy was at the airport, and the guy said, "Did anyone pack? Did anyone put anything in your luggage that you don't know about?" And he goes, "Well, if I didn't know about it, how would I know?" And then the guy behind the counter knowingly smiles, goes, "Yes, that's why we ask."
Yeah, right.
Like, what? You ask me if someone put something I don't know about, and I say I don't know about it, and that's why you're asking to see if I don't know about it. Or oh, God. So, yes, yeah, so it's a bit worrying, is it, my friend?
It is. It is.
But is it one of those things like next week all of a sudden three things can pop up?
Oh, absolutely. The way it kind of works? It absolutely could be like that. You know, and I, you know, before I was married, I did 13 years of this where survived, you know, from paycheck to paycheck, and yeah, and honestly could be that, you know, you get a phone call at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon that says, hey, you got anything on for next week? And you go, nut, and you go, great, can you be here, you know, Monday morning? Yeah. It's like, yep, sweet. Yeah. You know,
and what you need to be doing is going pushing over some of these other, was it, the guy broke his leg or something, was it? He's gonna start tripping a few people up,
go and do his other leg for him.
Find a plumb job that you want to do close to home and knock the guy off, yeah, accidentally hit him with your car, he's, you know.
That's it.
I shouldn't say that in case something happens to someone and you've done it.
Anyway.
Not be good at it.
I'm sure it will sort itself out. It usually does.
You're far too talented a man to not be wanted.
Thank you, mate. I would like to think so.
No, I've no idea. I'm trying to fluff your pillows, too. Yeah. You know? Make you feel a bit good about yourself.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So,
that's all I got.
How was Tanzania?
Well, the people are horrible.
When you say George, the people, Geordie, do you mean the people that live there or the people you took with you?
Mostly just George. Right. Listener, you know? I tell you, you know those really obnoxious Aussies you have when you're overseas?
Yeah.
You hear them and they drive you crazy.
Yeah.
That's what we sounded like.
Excellent.
As George's wife said, oh my God, because she listened to, he made her listen to a little bit of the podcast.
Right.
To give her the idea who he was going with to Tanzania. She goes, oh my God, you two are annoying in the same spot. and it's fair enough. And funny, just this week I was in Officeworks, which is
ask a quick question. Did you go into pubs at the end of the night and yell out K-San to the band on the stage?
No, we're in tents in the middle of the field, dude.
Right,
yeah, no.
Okay.
And by field, you know what I mean, not a field per se.
Yeah, so you went to Officeworks.
So I was at Officeworks, which is a stationery store, and they had
this, it doesn't move very far at all.
This little button, this little stationery, I get it. It's not funny. This little button that you press and it plays sounds.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, you know, and like an emergency button, you stop. Yep. But it's all Aussie sayings. Like, Struth, crikey, mate, no worries. Oh, I thought we'd probably get one of those for next. Save us being annoying, or we can just press the button whenever we need to say something annoying.
Yeah, nice.
Because we were yeah, pretty loud between the two of us, I have to say. But no, look, I said, I think the probably the best group I've ever travelled with.
Yeah, you said that last week. That's awesome.
Which is amazing, you know, and that hasn't changed, you know, with the passing of time.
Mm-hmm.
I said last week, you know, to get that many people on time, ready, almost every single day, was nigh on astounding. I mean, it's just brilliant.
Yep.
The first day, I arrived the day before, or the afternoon of the day before the tour started.
Right. So a day and a half in advance.
That you could say it that way, probably clearer.
Yeah, right. Okay.
day and a half in advance, and met George, and we had dinner, and seemed a lovely guy. What little contact I had in there, that was soon to change. So the next morning we agreed we'd go to, I'd get waiting for other people to arrive from the tour. We had no one else from my group had arrived yet. So let's go down to a market, local market, and take some photos.
Yep.
And so yeah, we were gets my first chances down to downtown Arusha, which is one of the biggest cities. Yep. And we're having a bit of a drive around and pointing out stuff to him as we go along. You know, looking at all the opportunities to shoot. And I think that was a bit of an eye opener. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So George lives in Pakistan. He's based in Pakistan doing stuff with the Australian military.
Right.
So obviously, opportunity-wise, he's got some great opportunities to photograph over there. But you know what it's like? Sometimes you don't, if you're there living it, you don't always see it.
Yeah.
So it's just driving along, just pointing out left, right, and centre, all the the colour balances, the textures on the walls, the people in the doorway, the million photo opportunities that are available to you as you drive along those places. But we had a little walk around the market for a couple of hours probably an hour and a half and took some photos.
Yep.
A couple, as is always the way, as is always the damn way, the ones I like the most, Zippo comments on social media.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me just how commonly that happens.
Yep.
I'm going to message you through a photo that I took at the marketplace, which I really like.
Okay.
It's a simple shot. It's just coming through now. There's a ladies' market and a men's market, okay? And we were kind of arrived in the ladies' market. And it kind of felt like the people were trying to drag us away that maybe we weren't supposed to be in the ladies' market. It was kind of, a little tricky to exactly gather, but they tried to get us to move on. And to get there, you had to go up, sort of through this, up these stairs and through this building and then down the other side. And as we were crossing there, I saw this little kitchen where these ladies were cooking stuff.
Yep.
And just this wall with a window into the kitchen. So I stepped back and I framed the window and took a photo that I kind of like,
So that wooden frame is actually what you were photographing?
Yeah, that's what I was photographing through.
Yeah, nice.
So, so you've got this frame and that gives you this great three-dimensional depth and stuff, which I really kind of like. I would have liked if the ladies had been taller,
mm-hmm.
but you can work with what you got.
Yep.
Especially when most of them are sitting down. I think there's only a couple of them standing up. It would be nice if they'd been a bit taller, filling the frame a bit more. But it's an interesting scene. There's lots of stuff going on. The framing, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Zippo.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame that not one of them is actually looking in the direction of the camera.
Yeah, but that works in a different way, though.
Yeah, okay.
To me, that tells a different story. You're it's a little bit more voyeuristic,
right? Yep.
When no one's looking at you,
yep.
and you're observing them, it has a different feel. But I just love the framing, the feel, the whole image, and bubkus, as I said, that was kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite shot of the thing, again, I'm thinking, oh, this, people are going to love this. This is a cool shot. Guess what I got from it?
Nothing.
Bubkus. Bubkus. I don't even know what a bubkus is.
Yeah.
But, I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm saying that one through. So just to the right of the kitchen is this guy playing on a pool table, a billiards table.
Oh, yeah.
So, I walk up and without permission put my camera on the table in front of him for that hit the ball and start shooting. And of course, completely block him from But I love the angle, the viewpoint, the light on him. He's got beautiful light coming from both sides, on his head. If you zoom in, he's got lovely light on the left, he's got lovely light on the right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a street snapshot. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Kinda like it.
I haven't got that image. It hasn't come through, but anyway.
Oh, it should be there any tick of the clock.
Right.
It's left me, so it should have got to you.
Okay.
Don't you hate technology?
Yeah.
It's good when it works. Yeah. Have you noticed how often it doesn't work?
Yeah, sadly. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I do have to say, actually, I do want to make a comment because I was thinking about this through the week after we'd recorded last week, that since you got NBN, we've not had any audio issues.
Oh.
Which has been a pleasant change.
So you're liking the audio?
It's better than it's better than it used to be.
Because I'm using the internal microphone on my Microsoft Surface.
Oh, is that right?
Last week and this week, because I can't find my microphone.
Right. Yeah, no, the audio's fine.
Oh, cool.
But you are on NBN now, aren't you?
I am on NBN now.
Yeah. We used to have bandwidth issues, and what would happen was Skype would throttle the audio quality depending on the bandwidth available. And so you'd start off with great quality, and then, you know, if bandwidth got congested, then it would downgrade the quality of the audio, and sometimes you'd end up sounding like, you know, a chipmunk or a Cylon or God knows what.
Normal.
Yeah. And we've not had any of that in ages. I say that, and of course, it'll probably happen in the next 10 seconds. But, yeah. So
NBN, for those that, I mean, it's a national broadband network.
Yes.
Of supposed fast internet.
Yes.
Which is almost at the third world standards. It's pretty good.
We have actually just dropped in the world ranking of fastest internets. We have dropped from 55th to 60th.
No way.
We are the 60th fastest internet country in the world.
And we spent how much money?
Exactly.
We can blame the Liberal government for that.
Yep.
Because we were going to have fiber to the house, from memory.
Well, I'm one of the few people that's got that. It's why I do not want to leave this house. Well, it's been pretty good for most of the time we've been here. You know, I generally, you know, we can watch 4K TV over the internet without any problem.
You know, I don't have 4K TV, so
Right. Yeah, so we
couldn't even take advantage if you could.
Yeah, right. So we've got subscriptions to Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Stan.
Well, not for much longer, because they haven't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're kind of looking at it at the moment and going, one of these is going to have to go. But Amazon Prime, you do get 4K content on the standard priced bundle. With Netflix, you've actually got to pay extra for 4K. Yeah, but yes, anyway, there you go. So back to Tanzania.
Anyway, did you get the photo?
Probably has faster internet than us. It's just come through.
Look at that.
It's just come through, like in the last
three
seconds.
Remember, this is on 4G, though. It should be fast. It's like I get 100-odd megabits per second on my phone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw this photo.
So I like it. For a street shot, it's pretty darn cool. Yeah,
it's great.
Bunkers.
Really?
So, anyway, it's bizarre, you know.
Yeah.
So George and I had a lovely wander around. I, you know, taught him a few tips and tricks, and we did a few portraits of a few people as we were going around. And George had organized the day before, he had arrived the day before, he'd met a taxi driver which he employed for the day. And he had the same guy again that day, and so he took us around. But of course, we got harangued at the market by some other guy who wanted to take us around. And of course, they wanted paying at the end for showing us around the market.
Yep,
which is all part of the fun of travel, you know. So that's all good. So that was day one, you know, pretty good. So we met the group. Now I was quite concerned because two of my four customers. So once again, the way the vehicle works is our driver guide and me up the front. Mm-hmm. Then there's six seats in the back, which we only have four customers, so there's a bit of space for bags and stuff like that.
Sure.
So four people. George was a reasonably known quantity, being Australian. I thought it was going to be okay. The other three I didn't know, all coming from America.
Right.
And two of them were in the mid-80s.
Oh, wow.
And on their forms, major health issues with one of them.
Okay.
I didn't know what those major health issues were, but major, it's in caps, all caps. Like, oh, God.
Right.
And they weren't arriving till like about 9 o'clock the night before the first day of tour. So everyone else was arriving a day early. Everyone else is arriving a day early to, you know, decompress. Because even from the States, it's a 26 hours odd journey.
Yeah.
So it's still a, you know, I mean, I'm 42 hours to get there. They're 26, 28.
Yeah.
It's still a fair commitment.
I'm assuming they would have come New York and across the Atlantic.
Yeah, a lot of them go New York, Amsterdam, straight to Tanzania. So, okay. It's still a bit of a roundabout way of getting there, but it is what it is.
Mm.
So I was a bit concerned, and of course, not meeting them until the morning of the tour starting either.
Yeah.
So I met the other guy, Keith, the night before. He'd arrived in sort of later that afternoon, met him the night. Loveliest guy you can imagine.
Yeah.
He's based out of Washington, BC. Just a lovely, lovely man, you know. Okay. So I had no concerns. So do I. I had no concerns about him. I'm still crapping myself about these two oldies. So, this is going to be bad. And everyone's going, oh, you drew the short straw. So they arrive, and they are the best people.
Cool.
They're the loveliest people. They're about 3 foot high, each of them. They're lovely, short little people. But just full of energy, full of enthusiasm. And here's the thing. So there was Roger and Mary. Mary was along basically just to support Roger.
Okay.
She had a point-and-shoot camera, kind of like looking at the animals. I had no interest in photography whatsoever.
Right.
And our days were long. We might leave at 7 o'clock, 7.30 in the morning,
yep,
and not get home till 7.30 at night.
Sure.
Bouncing down dirt roads, yep, massive vibrations, crud everywhere, on and on. Not one time in 10 days did she go, when are we going home? What time are we expected back? Ouch. Not a single noise of discontent.
That's awesome.
For 10 days. And I tell you, that was huge, you know. Yeah. And she didn't even complain about me, which is, So just the loveliest of people. And so I was, in the end, I was absolutely blessed. With the exception of George, I had the best group going around, you know.
Yeah.
We had, they were just the loveliest people. So that, of course, that straight away, that makes your job a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, if people are, they're into it, they're keen. And the other thing, too, I think what's really important is none of them had, oh, I've got to see this. I must see that. I've come here for this one thing.
Yep.
And they hadn't. It all come to just enjoy the experience and see what they see.
Yep.
Which, of course, makes it a hell of a lot easier. Our driver, guide, was saying, the Chinese tourists would come. And, of course, not speak any English. They'd have their own translator. But they'd have photos of the animals they wanted.
Right.
And the type of photo they wanted. Okay. So we want this type of photo of this animal, make it happen.
Yeah.
And they'd do them in order. They get there, they go, and they go, right, this one, point at this one. On it. Now, he said, normally we get everything, but rhinos are really hard to find, you know?
Yep.
Really, really hard to find. In fact, we didn't find any for the entire trip. We spent a whole day, most of a whole day, looking for them in the area they were most likely to be found.
And yep. And there was
time
none.
Of year. I mean, they're time of year. So they said, but they get so demanding that they must see this rhino that what they do is they send a guy out in a motorbike or a driver out earlier, find a buffalo that's far enough away from any road, because you're not allowed to leave the dirt tracks. You can stay on the dirt tracks. So you find a buffalo that's far enough away from the dirt track that it could look like a rhino.
Yep.
And then they pull up and they go, rhino.
Oh.
And just to placate them, just to say that they can say, yep, we've seen it.
Wow. Which is
hilarious when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it shows you just, what the hell are you, you're setting yourself up for failure with that kind of expectation.
I was just going to say, you need to manage expectations before you go out.
It's huge. I mean, that's the biggest thing with any trip.
Yeah.
With any trip, managing expectations. But, when they're so demanding, they must see this, this, and this, or else.
Yeah.
It puts a hell of a lot of pressure on the poor drivers.
Yeah.
Because these are wild animals. You don't have a...
Yes, they don't work to a timetable.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of control over it, So that was I thought it was a fairly fascinating little story.
Yeah.
Our first day out to go out on safari, we've got about a two and a half hour drive from Arusha out to Tarangire National Park. And that's famous for its elephants. That's the park you go to if you want to see lots of elephants.
Right.
So we're heading out there, and we can't finally get to the intersection that turns off down the park. And it was a Sunday, and there was a local market on.
Okay.
And it only happens, once a week or whatever. So a couple of other vehicles had to stop for someone had to go to the toilet further back. So we stopped and we got out and wandered around the market. Now, straight away, my goodness, they were onto us like a flash, all the touts trying to sell the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff was so expensive. It's so expensive. Like,
really?
A t-shirt, right? $20.
What?
$20 for a t-shirt in a marketplace. A guy was walking around holding a t-shirt in a marketplace. It's like, no. And the problem is this is the intersection into the main thoroughfare into the park. So it's the people, it's where tourists are going to be found the most in this area.
Yeah.
So even just walking around trying to take photos, everyone's like, pay, give me money.
Yep.
So I'm looking around, not taking any photos, just looking around, and this woman and a couple of friends are sitting on the ground, and she calls me over. Come here. And she goes, she puts her hand out for me to look at my camera. So I pass it to her. She grabs it, shoves it under her dress, and goes, "Mine." and aggressively. It wasn't in a nice, fun way. It was aggressive. It's like, ha, 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 funny, funny, give me the camera back. Pass, ha, ha, ha. No.
Wow.
Mine. On and on and on. And so a crowd's developing around us. And a couple of local lads there, don't worry, it'll be all right, don't worry, it'll be okay sort of thing. And I'm still kind of trying to play it fairly light. Mm. And at the end, the driver had to pay her to get my camera back.
You're kidding.
And I hadn't even taken a photo of her.
Wow.
If I'd taken sneakily taken a photo of her, I could maybe say, okay, I can understand why you're a bit angry, you know?
Yeah.
But I haven't even photographed. So I said, right, we paid you. I'm taking your photo.
Yeah.
But I disliked her so much by this stage, all it did was a selfie of me and
yeah,
her.
Right.
I didn't even want a photo of her. You know?
Wow.
I got this selfie just to say, well, you know, stuff here. So that was kind of hilarious. So it was a pretty tough place to take photos because.
And how much did the driver have to pay ransom to get you?
He paid 2,000 shillings, which is only about like a dollar.
Oh, okay.
But either way, you know.
But it's the principle.
Yeah, it's just like the whole the experience was. I mean, I'm fairly experienced, so I was okay with it all. But if you're unsure,
but it's a fairly distasteful experience.
Yeah, and it could really, you know, really. But I, as I always say, it's the stuff that goes wrong is where your stories are at. So to me, it's a fabulous story. It was worth 10,000 shillings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a lot better than, I walked up, she let me take a photo, and I walked off with no story.
Yeah.
So you want stuff to go wrong within bounds.
Yeah, that was kind of like the story I was telling last week about Kath and I and this tuk-tuk driver that wouldn't take no for an answer and, you know, getting dumped at this temple that turned out to be closed. And I said to Kath, I said, hey, you know, this is the stuff that makes travelling interesting. You know, these are the stories that we'll remember and tell for years to come. So I kind of...
Because if you arrive and you go in the temple and it's all... There's no story there.
No, exactly.
Yeah, there's no anecdotes for what happened on your trip kind of thing.
Exactly.
Oh, we went and saw this place. Was it nice? Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, that's boring. So that was very funny. So we've driven down to the park itself. We stopped to have lunch there and...
Mm.
All these little monkeys flying around, whatever that monkey that you called it was on the...
The macaque? On,
yeah, I don't think it was, but anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, so I got my first good shot of the trip, you know, of an animal, you know, whilst they're having lunch before we even entered the park. So it was a good start for the trip.
Mm.
5 minutes into the park, we've already seen a stack of gazelles and a couple of handfuls of zebras and some wildebeest. And dear old Mary, mid-80s, lovely, lovely old Mary, sees off in the distance, she goes, is that an elephant? And it's this monstrous male solo elephant.
Wow.
Huge stuff. He would have been 50 foot high if he was a foot, you know?
Yeah, right.
20 foot, 15. He was big.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the driver spun around and we've gone down this other side road. So once again, there's all these dirt tracks everywhere, but you're only allowed to stay on the dirt tracks. You're not allowed to go off the tracks because you'd imagine then the whole area would be full of tracks.
Yeah.
And so we positioned ourselves and this thing just keeps coming towards us and coming towards us and coming towards us. And coming towards us, and to the point where you've now got too big a lens on to photograph the thing.
Yeah.
So you just really get your iPhone out because the thing's 10 foot away from us, towering over the vehicle, monstrous tusks, and he's flapping his ears at us, flap, 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 you know. And he just turns to his right and keeps on walking. But that was, for the first up major animal experience, it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And to the point, I think George at the back said, well, that's it, I'm done. Yeah. Trip's good enough. Yeah, it's going to be hard to beat that sort of thing.
Everything from here is cream.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And it was. I mean, the experience was just so fabulous.
Yeah.
And this thing was so enormous.
Yeah.
And it was so glorious to see. And the fact that it just came straight up to us, it was all pretty cool. You know, every day kind of got better from there on. You know, it was
nice.
Like, that was like, at the end, it was like, oh, that was a really cool experience. But some of the other stuff was just kept on increasing. So I reckon on that first day we would have seen 200 or 300 elephants.
Wow!
Yeah, a lot of elephants. Yeah, lots of just different little herds. Yeah, there's a herd of 30 or 40 here, and a herd of 20 or 30 over there, and then a bunch of solo ones, and you know, half a dozen over here. Kind of just on and on and on. You know, so that was a pretty amazing first day. And then we saw lions, and of course, I missed it. But somehow, I think the thing that happened to me the next morning, I missed this incredible photo opportunity that George got. So when we have him on the podcast, we'll have to get him to share this photo of this, a couple of lions up in a tree.
Oh, okay.
His shot is just fabulous. Just, it's like, my God. And we'd separated vehicles for some reason. And the first night, we had to split our groups up into, because we had so many people, we couldn't fit all in one campsite.
Oh, okay.
For one night only for the whole trip.
Right.
And so our vehicles kind of got split up a little bit, and he got the damn photo, and I hate him for it. Yeah, basically. I told him so, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
But it's a stunning photo. And it just went on from there. Yeah. Animals up in trees, animals under trees. Yeah. We didn't see any kills.
Okay.
So, no, well, I lied. We had an eagle fly over the top of us.
Yeah.
And right on top of our vehicle, swooped down the bushes 20 feet away from us and killed something, but it was behind the bushes.
So you've moved relative to your microphone. What have you done?
No, I've done nothing.
Okay.
I'm sitting on the couch and haven't moved.
Okay.
Is it better?
No, that's okay.
Really? That's your fault.
That's better.
It's your fault.
You did move.
You know what? I've got an idea. You know what it might be?
Yeah.
I'm using an Apple headphones.
Right.
With that little microphone thing when you're talking on the phone. I wonder if it's using that as the microphone.
I would say it is.
Rather than the, so maybe just it wobbled on my chest a bit or something.
Right.
So now I've lost my complete train of thought. Look at that. I took my new Narbox 2.0 with me on tour. So I only arrived a week before going away.
Yep.
It wasn't really 100. Well, it's not that it's hard to use, but I wasn't 1,000%
familiar
with it. Yep. It's a brand new piece of kit that you're unsure of the reliability of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what if it decides not to work halfway through the tour? But it was the only backup option I took with me.
Right.
I did take a couple of spare 512 SSD drives.
Yep.
Because they're small and lightweight, they kind of weigh nothing. So I figured, well, worst comes to worst, if it all goes pear-shaped, then I can borrow someone's laptop just to port through the images or something like that. Yeah, I had card readers and stuff. So.
Yep.
But I tell you, absolutely flawless. So we'd be driving along, we'd finish the day and have to head back to our accommodations. And that might be an hour drive or whatever, through the twilight. As we're bouncing along, I fire up the NAR box, put the memory cards in, back up straight away.
Yep.
And be completely backed up well before we even arrive back at we stayed in the parks most of the time.
Right.
So we were glamping, so in the luxury tenting
nice. Stuff.
So by the time we got back there, I'm fully backed up, everything's already done, and I'd then open up one or two photos on my phone whilst we're still driving along, and I could have edited a photo or two before we got back to the hotel, back to the tents.
Yeah, nice.
So we arrive, we pull out, and usually by the time we arrive back, it's late, it's time to go straight to dinner. Go straight to dinner, I could show people the photos in the day.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was pretty cool. So it worked absolutely flawlessly. It was amazingly good.
So I want to ask, what are the options for tagging keywords and things like that?
Yeah, anything you want. So when you import, you can I haven't tried doing it when you import. When you can go through and rate all your photos, star rate your photos like you would if you were in Lightroom or whatever.
Yep.
And tag all your photos. Batch tag. So however many tags you want, whatever tagging system you want, any software program that uses metadata accesses the metadata where the tags will be stored, we'll be able to pick up your tags pick up your star rating.
Right.
So you could star rate everything, and by the time you then opened up, say, in Lightroom and said, just show me my 5-star only, you don't bang it, it'll be done.
Yeah, nice.
And you could do that, once again, whilst bouncing along on the road. It's just easy.
And so what are you doing all of that on your phone?
On your phone. Look, a lot of people probably use an iPad.
Yep.
But I don't want to carry anything big if I'm going to avoid it, so I'm just using my phone. So the way it works is you open up the photos in a thing called Selects, which, as its name supplies, you're selecting the photos, and you open up the shot, say the first shot in your batch, you look at it, you tap 4 stars, 3 stars, 2, whatever, tap the side of the screen, it flips the next photo. It's literally tap rate as you go along.
Nice.
So it's a really seamless process to do that. And then you can do tag, whatever tags you want applied to them, to individual images or to apply to a batch of images or to all images.
Yeah, nice.
Know? So there's a software program I haven't actually used or know much of it called Photo Mechanic, which is apparently fairly well known for an image sorting software program,
right?
And that file management, and that's what they use. It's powered by Photo Mechanic,
right?
It does all this sort of stuff. So the apps are they're still working on the apps. They wanted to get the program out, the product out as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So the apps are, I would say, 3/4 developed. They do everything you need it to do,
mm-hmm.
but this stuff, like, there's no pinch to zoom. So if you want to kind of zoom in a bit, see what the focus is like,
yep.
Doesn't have that yet. It's if you wanted to do horizontal or vertical, you know, flip your screens left or right, it doesn't do that yet. So it's just simple stuff that next generation will all be, you know, come along to tweak and refine the user experience.
Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, it's really just absolutely flawless. You can export from the NAR box into another folder on the NAR box, which is for your Dropbox. And so next time you're in Wi-Fi, connected to Wi-Fi, it'll automatically upload those photos into Dropbox for you.
Oh, yep.
So you've got another backup to your, you know, you put your prime images in there or whatever, and it backs up automatically for you, which is pretty darn cool.
Nice.
When you get home, you can convert it to mass storage mode. Just press a button, and that way you can just link it to your computer, and the computer sees it like an external drive, and you'd use it like with any normal external drive.
Cool.
Yeah, and, you know, the battery lasts everything you need it to last over a long, you know, so I'm downloading, you know, a lot of images in a day,
yeah,
and firing up to edit and to tag and all that sort of stuff, and yeah, never once got close to running out of battery. And there was a problem, not a problem, one of the issues with the original NAR box was heat, and heat's a bad thing on computers or yeah. on batteries because it drains them quicker.
Yep.
So they've spent a lot of time and money working on the heat sink, the way it removes heat.
Okay.
Because it's being a shockproof, waterproof, dustproof unit, it's all sealed. There's no air vents to cool, no fans to cool.
Yep.
So, you know, it takes a fair bit of...
Is that why it has the little slots on the outside of the case?
Yeah, I think that's some form of...
Trying to increase surface area, yep.
Yeah, some sort of creative cooling mechanism that seems to work very well because it got, at best, a tiny bit warm, not hot, but warm, as a worst-case scenario. So that works pretty darn well.
Yeah, nice.
So for its first serious usage,
yep,
I was mighty impressed. And cool. It's given me a lot of confidence. It's not something I'm going to have any concerns about using going forwards. So it's just killer. So every day we'd go out in the morning shooting, yep. We'd shoot all day, and then come evening, I'll drive back, I'll be backing up, and everything done by the time I'm back to the room. And which is good because, as I said, you get back to your accommodations, and it's pretty much time to go straight for dinner. So there's no time to be backing up or anything normally there. And then by the time you finish your dinner and everything else, everyone's pretty tired. You just want to go to bed.
Yeah, because you're going to have an early start the next day.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily a time you want to be having to again do your backups again.
Yeah.
You know? So having it all done already was just a great peace of mind too. I could concentrate on being social rather than worrying about getting everything ready for the next morning. All I have to do when I get back to the room, put batteries on charge.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and that's really...
Now, you know, I am surprised that you went all the way to Tanzania.
Yeah.
You flew into Arusha.
Yeah.
And you were within a stone's throw of Kilimanjaro and you didn't go there.
Why would I?
I'm sure some people would have liked landscape shots.
Well,
Yeah.
It's mostly covered.
With what?
Clouds and clouds.
Oh, okay.
So you can barely see it.
Right.
So it's not much point that. It's a wildlife tour, dude. We're going to take photos of land.
Okay.
I did on the flight out of Arusha, though, on the way home, I did see it out the window.
Right.
Do you know it takes 7 days to climb it?
Does it really?
7 days. 5 days to go up, 2 days to come down.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really surprised living down. So I met a couple of people. I met a lovely girl from Taiwan who'd just climbed it.
Right.
And, 7 days, it was kind of a shock.
Wow.
So it's obviously big.
4,900 metres.
Is that the world's largest freestanding volcano or something like that?
Probably. It is the highest mountain in Africa, with its summit of 4,900 metres from its base and 5,895 metres above sea level.
Wow.
Yikes. So just to put it in perspective, Mount Kosciuszko, which is the highest mountain in Australia, is 2,228. So it's like 2.5 times Kosciuszko.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it looked pretty big in out the plane window.
Yeah, I'll bet. Anyway, fair enough.
But I've got to say, there was another volcano flying in. I don't know what it was on the first day flying in, which to me was far more impressive looking than Kilimanjaro.
Right,
because it was literally coming straight out of the flat land.
Yep,
just this great big cone, and it was literally just it wasn't like any sculpted landscape going up to a cone. It was just the cone itself.
Is this Mount Meru, which is in Arusha
National Park? No. You get a view of that from your bedroom window.
Right.
No, it was it's just a volcano. I have no idea what it was called.
Okay.
But because it was just so rugged and so perfectly formed.
Yeah.
And it's a crystal clear day. You can look right down inside the volcano as you flew over it.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty darn cool to see. And definitely, to me, visually more spectacular from the air, at least.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, obviously nowhere near the height.
Yeah,
nowhere near that massive scale. But as far as your classical volcano cone looking kind of thing,
yep,
it was pretty darn cool.
Wow.
So every day we kind of we'd have these amazing highlights. You know, you'd think, well, we can't beat that. We can't beat that. And every day we managed to. Yeah, you know?
Right.
There was an example when we came across this leopard one evening. So the way it works is we have five vehicles, or however many people booked. We had five tour leaders, five vehicles, and we're all kind of going off in our own directions. But everyone's on the radio to each other. So if someone sees something really amazing, everyone kind of converges.
Yeah.
But all the drivers in the park do the same thing. Okay, so they're all kind of, even if it's not the same tour, they're kind of keeping everyone, because it's a network they use to keep informed for everybody. So we got advised, and the driver would always be trying to be a bit sneaky. He wouldn't want to tell you what we're doing or where we're going. Right. Or why we're going, because he wanted to be surprised. So we've arrived at this one rock outcropping and couldn't see anything. And we talked to one of our other cars and said, oh, there's a leopard, there's a leopard. And then we saw this tiny thing at the top of this fairly high up rock outcropping.
Yeah.
There was this leopard, little leopard. And we thought, oh, it's pretty cool. But the shot's lousy. I mean, you're shooting directly into the bright sky.
Yeah.
It was late afternoon, but it was still a bright sky. There was nothing much more than a silhouette. Or if you're overexposed enough so it wasn't a silhouette, you're losing all contrast and all sharpness and everything. So it was, and then it disappeared. It's like, oh well. And we're waiting. And a few of the other the non-photo tour vehicles disappeared because, they'd seen it. And we're sitting there waiting. And then all of a sudden, the mum, there was the baby up on the hill. The mum comes walking out from the bush, climbs up on this rock 30 feet in front of us and lays flat out.
Oh, nice.
Smack in front of us. And the guide's going, you never see this. You never see this. And we're going, what do you mean? He says, well, yeah, you'll see them up the top of the rocks. You'll see them hiding behind trees. You'll see them, the tail. You'll see the face sticking out from a bush or whatever. But they don't just come out in the open like this. Yeah, very, very rarely.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, so she's sitting there just having a laser around for 5 minutes, so just staring at us, completely nonplussed. There's like six vehicles there, completely nonplussed. After about 5 or 10 minutes, yawning, so it looks like she's snarling, all the cool stuff. The baby comes up, climbs up the rock and jumps on top of her.
Right.
Yeah. So, and now he's going, oh, you never see this. Yeah, so he's going, he's getting excited at what we're seeing. And this is all taking place, 30 feet in front of us. And so mum and baby sat there and played for ages on top of this rock. And we just sat there and photographed. And so, I mean, to the point that we shot for an hour past the park closing time.
Wow.
So he had to be out. So, and it was then like an hour and a half drive from where we were to where we were staying.
Yeah, right.
And he had to be out of the park an hour before then. So illegally we had to drive through the park for an hour and a half past ranger station. So we're driving in the dark without headlights off.
Oh.
And these dirt tracks at speed, trying to not be seen by the rangers because it would have been a huge fine for being there. So that was a good adventure.
Yeah.
But every day, sort of stuff like that would happen, you know. And the amazing lions in the tree that George saw, the elephant coming up so close, the leopard which no one ever sees.
Yeah.
We came across this lioness laying on a rock, and then a cub joins her. And it's another day again. Yeah. And the cub joins her. Then a second cub joins her. Then after 5 minutes, a third cub joins her.
Wow.
Then after 5 minutes, a fourth cub joins her, you know. And there was actually two lionesses, and there were shared cubs.
Wow.
Yeah, and, yeah, it just built. And this sort of stuff happened all the time. We'd see something cool, then it would build and get better and better.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And this just happened every single day. We saw lots of cool stuff, but then something amazing would happen, you know, all the time, you know. And it's to the point that very last morning, as we're leaving the camp, heading back to the airport, I've got all my gear packed. And literally out the front is a cheetah, a mother cheetah with her two cubs.
Wow.
150 meters from our tents, right? And we're on a vehicle, we're following the vehicle, and she's teaching them to hunt in front of us. And there's all these gazelles, and she's showing them how to stalk and everything else, and they're kind of doing so. And she's got all keyed on these gazelles. And so she's running sort of parallel to them. Not running, but kind of fast walk parallel to them, and they're probably 100 meters from where she is, but she's so focused looking to her left, looking at this, and she walks straight into a bush, jumps back about 8 feet, and it was the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. You know what it's like when you're on your phone, you walk along, you bang into something, it's like, oh! It's exactly that, you know. Of course, all I had was my iPhone. I'm photographing something with my iPhone. But it was hilarious. And once again, so even as we're leaving to the airport on the last day, incredible stuff's happening.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I was showing one of the girls how to do astrophotos one night.
Right.
You know, by a tent. You're not allowed to move around camp at night or in the dark by yourself. You've got to have a guard with you at all times.
Right.
So you have a Maasai warrior with you at all times, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so we're stood. I'm showing her this thing. And had to do astro, and you're hearing this coming from this bush about 20 feet from us.
Yeah.
I said, oh, what's that? He goes, oh, lion, Simba. Simba. 20 feet from us, there's this lion in the bush.
It's like, oh,
okay. And not allowed to run in camp, because if you're running, the lions think it's fleeing prey.
Yep.
So they might get interested.
Right.
And then first night in one of the tents, I'm laying there. I'm by myself, got a tent to myself. And there's this banging noise on the side of the tent, about 5 feet from a bedhead. Bang, 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 bang. This freaking lion banging against the tent wall. It's like, okay, you know, we're not. This is the real world, you know. But that's the fabulous stuff. That's the great experience, because that makes it all real, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very easy when driving around because there's lots of preserves in the world. You know, you go to South Africa to a nature preserve, and it's basically a fenced-off area.
Yeah.
It might be a big fenced-off area, but it's a fenced-off area where the animals have been put in. It's basically an open-range zoo.
Yeah.
This is the wilderness.
Yeah.
This is not tented off. It's not fenced off. It's not. It's the real world. So it's kind of good to have them coming that close and have them wandering around. And
yeah.
Because it makes it feel like you're not in a zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're paying that much money to go somewhere, you don't want to feel like you're walking around a sanitized environment.
No,
you want some reality. So that was awfully cool. I didn't get to sleep very easily that night, as you can imagine. Yeah. I'm sure the tent walls are fairly thick.
Yeah,
I'm sure, but positively. It was all that sort of stuff happening all the time. And I said day in, day out, that kind of stuff happening. It was just fabulous. So I'm going back again in February.
Nice.
For the calving season tour. So it's going to be quite different because, it's more southern Serengeti than northern Serengeti because, we're not following the wildebeest up. It's a lot greener because it's after the wet season. So rather than everything being dead and brown grass, you've got more leaves in the trees, you've got more green on the ground. So it's going to look quite a lot more water in the rivers and the water holes and so on.
So you're not going to Arusha, you're going somewhere further south?
We're going through Arusha as well, but that'd be a starting point. But there and south and around abouts and so on. but following the carvings, still following the animals, but for the, watching the wildebeest and zebra hopefully given birth. And of course, that puts lots of little babies around, and little babies make the big cats pay more attention and that sort of stuff, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. Hopefully we can capture some phenomenal experiences and stuff. So I've still got two places left for that if anyone wants to join me.
Nice.
We'll get George on. He can tell you how fabulous I am. And I've already paid him $20 to say that.
Right.
That's all good. And hopefully we could. I'd love to have another listener come along and
George, if you're only getting $20, mate, you're getting ripped off.
I gave him far better value than that. He got so much. He got more information than you can poke a stick at. I tell you.
Excellent.
But I have to say, I've seen a bunch of his photos.
Yep.
My goodness, he's shooting with Olympus. His photos are stunning. I mean, he's got some just cracking photographs.
Awesome.
Stuff I would have loved to have shot. I mean, far better than some of them. Far better than what I got.
Yeah. And, right.
Which is awesome because that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
He's got some cracking shots. So really pleased for him.
Nice.
Yes, I mean, there's so many highlights. I mean, I'll send through just a little selection of photographs to put up for the podcast, and just to show some of the things we saw and did.
Yep.
But it's kind of hard to encapsulate because literally there's just so many things, good things happened. Yeah, like finding a solo male lion who's been kicked out of the pride under a tree with half a wildebeest left. He's been out and killed. And then we surround him with our vehicles, and so he comes out from under his shade and grabs the wildebeest in his mouth and starts dragging it back under the bush, staring at us, because you're not getting my lunch.
Right. Wow.
And so you get that sort of experience, you know, literally 20 feet from you, staring straight at you.
That's awesome.
It's pretty darn cool. Yeah, when you see a lion with its head inside a zebra. Yeah, it's not something you see every day.
No,
it just goes on. Now, the wildebeest crossings are amazing, and they're hilarious and amazing at the same time. In that, yeah, you know, your vehicles all kind of know where there's only 11 places where they cross.
Right.
There's 11 areas where they cross the rivers, and so everyone's kind of keeping an eye on these 11 spots, which makes it easy because if they could cross anywhere, it makes it a lot harder to sort of predict where they're going to be. So you kind of see where the animals are starting to congregate, and everyone kind of works their way. And all the vehicles are sort of hiding in the bushes, you know, a good 500-600 meters or more away from the river, waiting to see, because they're bloody flighty things. They'd all start congregating on the side of the river, then they'd run away again. Then they'd come back again.
Right.
Then they'd run one spook and they'd run away again. They'd do this over and over and over. And then they decide to move up to the next crossing. So it's quite a patience game. And then for some reason, some switch would go, one decide, okay, I'm going. And then they'd all start to try and cross over. And all the cars would come flying in, trying to get the best possible angles and positions. And so you're flying through this bush. This is the one area where you can go off the tracks. Okay, so everyone's just flying through every ditch, every bit of dirt pile. It's hilarious. It's hilarious fun. Absolute pandemonium.
Yeah.
And then you get there and they turn around and go back again. It's a bastard. So you back all your vehicles back up again. So we saw, I think, about four crossings. A couple of them, we only got there just at the very last, like 10 animals crossing. So they were crap.
Yeah.
One night we sat for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours waiting for this monstrous, huge herd. I mean, it would have been epic, but they didn't cross. So we got back there as early as we could the first thing the next morning, and they'd already crossed.
Right.
You bastard. So that's all part of the fun, the unpredictability of it all. You just never know what's going to happen. And so it was a very cool experience, made all the better by the people we had. All the tour leaders were awesome. All the customers were great. And so we had a little bit of a language barrier. There's a group of French Canadians, and a couple of them didn't speak much English, but it didn't stop anyone from not having fun together. And it just meant I had to speak a little bit slower sometimes.
Yep.
One of the Canadians said to me, he goes, "Why are you in such a rush?" I said, "What do you mean? I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean."
Yeah.
So a heap of fun, amazing experience. The animals you get to see are incredible. So we saw everything but a rhino.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the photos people got, I said to them, because I'm looking at people's photos pretty much every day, sort of stuff. I'm saying, if you could have seen that photo before you went and knowing that you would take that, you'd have been pretty bloody happy. They said, I couldn't believe I could get something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I could never imagine that I'd be able to take that photo. So that's a pretty cool thing for people, you know.
And did you have enough long lenses to loan out to everybody?
Well, that was all pre-arranged. So anyone who wanted a – and the same goes for the February tour. I can organise for any Canon Nikon users a 150 to 600 mil Tamron lens for them to use for the trip.
Yep.
But it has to be pre-arranged and they have to take it themselves and return it themselves because I'm not carrying, you know, half a dozen. But, yeah, I've got lenses. I could supply it all 25 people if they needed it.
Wow.
So you know, with my network of contacts. Tamron people from around the world, so –
yeah, nice.
So again, yeah, that's good because it means that if you don't have to fork out, because Africa's bloody expensive, you know? even your t-shirts in the market is at $20 US for a $4 shirt kind of thing, you know. So it's an expensive place to go. But what part of what makes it expensive is that we stay in the national parks themselves.
Yep.
Which costs just the permits alone. The permit costs alone are enormous to be there. But the advantage is it saves you 3 hours of driving every day to get to where the animals are, which means you're there earlier in the morning than everyone else when the animals are more active and you've got more chance of good stuff. And you get to stay later into the afternoon as the light gets better because your camp is in the park, not 2 hours outside the park.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. So it's expensive, but the extra cost is great value.
Yeah.
You know? It gives you opportunities you wouldn't have otherwise. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to returning. And so we'll get young George on and we'll send him a message, see when he's free in a week or two, and he can relate it from the other side and see what.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear, you know, what expectations before going versus reality versus, you know, what was met, what wasn't met as far as expectations, all that kind of stuff would be.
Yep.
Would be kind of cool to hear. So
nice.
Yeah. All right. We've got one item before we go. From Adam.
Yeah, so Adam sent us a link to Skylum.com, who are a software manufacturer, who have produced a piece of software called Photo Lemur, which is now up to version 3. This is AI-driven software. Well, basically, it will automatically correct your images for you.
Yeah.
And it's normally...
I've been doing it the entire time we've been talking.
Right. So this is normally $35, but at the moment, if you head to the link, which will be in the show notes, Skylum is giving away Photo Lemur 3. All you've got to do is cough up your name and your email address, which means you're going to end up on their email database. But they will give you a fully licensed, uncrippled version of Photo Lemur 3, and you can use it on all your photos.
I think it's only going for a limited time. It's going to be free, so try and jump on it as soon as you can. I've got to say it's fabulous.
Right.
I started using it a bit yesterday. I've been playing with it continually whilst we've been doing the podcast because, you know, I like to multitask.
Yep.
And, you know, and here's the thing. If you don't want to get into post-production, it's brilliant because it will improve. It'll give your photos pop that you wouldn't have had otherwise. You look at a lot of people's photos, why do the photos look so good and mine look crappy? It's because usually they have post-production work on theirs and you haven't. But one of the other good things about it is I often find when it comes to editing a photo, I don't know the best way to it and what's going to give it the best chance of being a good photo.
Right.
You know, I don't know where do you start? What I tend to do is I fall back on the same things every single time. I do the same style of post-processing on every single image.
Yep.
So it's boring as anything. So post-processing becomes very boring. This is like asking someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it comes up with what it thinks is looking pretty good in the photograph, and you go, oh, you know, I actually kind of like that or whatever, and you can just kind of make decisions for at least get some other viewpoints of how the photos could look.
Okay.
And I'm loving what it's doing to some of my photos.
Cool.
And it said, it's press one button. You know, it's my kind of editing.
Yeah,
and there's a couple of different filters you can put on it. There's like a black and white filter. Yeah, some sort of other kind of tonal effect filters, which are pretty good as well. If you're not into big time photo editing, but you want your photo to look a lot better, I would definitely give it a whirl, especially if it's still free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can get onto it whilst it's free. I've been having a lot of fun with it. And I've been seeing some of my photos in ways I haven't seen.
Okay.
which is good. And some of my Africa photos, I did just with a few. It's really popped the colours a little bit different way than I would have done, which was really nice. It's brought some sharpness into it that I wouldn't have seen. Yeah, I've been really pleased with it. So I would highly recommend having a go at it. So nice. Thanks, Adam.
Nice one, Adam.
You proved your worth for once.
Excellent. Awesome.
All right, that's mate. It. Well, we're done like a dog's dinner.
Yep. We will chat with you again next week.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, see ya.
Bye, everyone.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.